Good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to our final Anchored in the Word morning reflection for this week, and I'm excited about dealing with this final topic under this discussion we've been having on the feeding of the 5,000. I'm going to read again from Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 22, and then I'd like to expand on the extravagance of Christ, and I want to build on what we talked about yesterday morning. Here's what it says in verse 18. "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? And the answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others say that thou art one of the prophets, is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. He straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day." Now, a major focus of this passage of Scripture is that twofold conversation that we talked about yesterday. And the question is, what did Jesus come to provide? And then how is he going to accomplish that? And yesterday, we talked about the fact that Christ came to provide life. Abundant life, not abundant life necessarily that is physical prosperity, but an abundant eternal life. And I want to build on that concept a little bit by asking the question, what does he mean by an abundant eternal life? And really, in John, this is a major emphasis, and I'm going to read from several passages in the book of John as we talk about this concept, both the book of John and 1 John. But let's begin with a couple of introductory thoughts I think are important. The first is this. Eternal life is more than just going to heaven. Now, I'm not suggesting that eternal life is not going to heaven. But what I'm saying is that eternal life goes beyond just the concept of being with God eternally. When we talk about eternal life, I think a lot of times we think in terms of the quantity of time. We say this is life that never ends. But a lot of times when the scriptures talk about eternal life, they're not emphasizing quantity of time as much as they are the quality of a life that never ends. A life that is everlasting, a life that is eternal. And we see this in John chapter 17 where Jesus says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know me, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Now, question. When he says eternal life is knowing God, he's talking about more than just going to heaven. He's talking about going to heaven to be with God and then to have a knowledge of God that grows. Now, when we're talking about a knowledge of God, this is something that we can grow in. This is something that is not static or stationary. It's something that we will never fully come to the end of. How can you ever come to an end of knowing God? This is someone who is not finite. He is infinite. And so our knowledge of him is something that we will continually grow in forever. Eternal life is something that we're not only going to have down the road, but it's something that we have now, and we will have it forever. Notice the way that this is worded in John 5:24. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Now, John didn't say he's going to have everlasting life. After he dies, then he gets eternal life. That's not what he's saying. He says the one who believes on him has it now. He says he's not going to come in condemnation. He has passed from death unto life. So he's emphasizing the fact that eternal life is not something I'm going to get. It's something that I have now. As you sit here this morning, and as you listen to this Anchored in the Word study, you either have eternal life or you don't have eternal life. And the basis of having it or not having it comes down to what you have done with Christ. Have you embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted in his finished work, or have you not? And so in 1 John 5:11, he puts it this way. He says, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And so someone says, well, you can't know for certain if you have eternal life right now. The simple fact is that's a complete contradiction of the text that we just read. You can know that you have eternal life. And not just that you're going to have eternal life, but that you possess it right now. Eternal life is something we have now and we're going to have forever. A third thing I want to mention is that eternal life is something that we experience by degrees. There is a qualitative sense to life. And the best way to describe this is the illustration of marriage. You can have two couples who are legally bound by marriage. One couple is thriving, is happy. They have a vibrant relationship. Their marriage is strong, and it is the way that God intended it to be. And on the other side, you have another couple. They are just as bound in marriage legally and before God as the other couple, but their marriage is deficient on many levels. They do not have happiness within their marriage. They are contentious with one another. They complain about their marriage. They do not have a joyful marriage experience. Now, question. Do both couples have a marriage? The answer is, well, of course they do. Are both equally married? The answer is, yes, they are equally married. But are they equally enjoying the quality of their marriage? And the answer is, oh, absolutely not. The quality of marriage is different for the two couples. It has a lot to do with the decisions that they are making within the marriage context. And so in John 10:10, this is what Jesus says. He says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Now that word abundantly is describing the quality of the life that they have. That is not a time element. Abundance is not a quantity. It is a quality in this particular context. And so he's telling us that you can experience a greater degree qualitatively of the life that you possess. Your relationship with God, while you can be a child of God, you could have two people that are equally God's children, they're not experiencing the same quality of the position that they have. The position is the same, but the quality of experience is different. And the quality of experience that is different is not about what God has given them, it's about how they have it related to what God has given them. And so let me kind of further elaborate on this concept. There is no greater quality of life that is available to a person than that which is conformed to God's design within the context of an eternal life. An eternal life is described in a lot of different ways when we talk about the qualitative sense to it. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, here's what it says. "The path of the just is as the shining light. It shineth more and more unto the perfect day." One of the ways that eternal life, the life of the just, is described, the justified, the righteous, God's children, it is a life that is growing in degree of brightness. They can see more clearly. They are walking in the light by greater degrees the longer they experience this Christian life. Another example that's similar to this is 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. He says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness." Now, you see the analogy of light being used in this particular context, but there's another concept that is brought into that, and that is the illustration of fellowship, or the concept of fellowship. So it's not just that you're walking in light, but you're growing in communion or fellowship with God. And notice he says that with that fellowship comes joy. When John writes the book of 1 John, he says, "I've written these things that you might have an abundance of joy." an abundance of fellowship. That is the sense of the book of 1 John. So he says, I want the life that you have to be abundant. I want you to have a good quality of your Christian experience. That's what he means. Another passage, 1 John 4:12. He says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And so this has the concept of this progressive growth into Christ's likeness, where the image of God is being more clearly reflected in our lives. Our lives are more clearly reflecting the person of Christ. So we're being conformed in our thinking, we're being conformed in our disposition, we're being conformed in our character. And so when we think about walking in the light, fellowship with God, growing into Christ's likeness, all of these are different aspects of the qualitative side of the eternal life that we have as God's children. And then another way that it's described is as a growing understanding. 1 John 5:20. He says, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The reason I bring up all these passages is to give you a simple thought that eternal life is something you have now. And it's something that you are either experiencing abundantly or deficiently. And if you're experiencing it abundantly, that is rooted in the way that you're relating to the gift that God has given you. And if you are relating deficiently and your experience has a deficiency, it's because you're not seizing those gifts that God has given you to the extent that are available to you. And so what we see ultimately in these passages is that God wants us to experience a life that is rich and full, not just in heaven, but now and forever. So you say, well, Joel, what do we take away from this? What can we think about the rest of the weekend as we reflect on the text of Scripture that we've looked at this week? Well, let me give you some thoughts. God wants us to be fully satisfied in Him and Him alone. This is a broken world, and He doesn't want us to be duped by all the different shiny objects that are out there that are pulling for our attention. And so I ask you these questions. Is there anything that you and I have put between us and God that ultimately we have made as an idol that has replaced Him? If it is, then this is going to affect the quality of the life we are enjoying now. Is there some compromise that we are willing to make because ultimately we're valuing something that we want more than the giver and the sustainer of life? This is something that we all wrestle with, and we will wrestle with throughout seasons of life. And so we should ask ourselves this question. Have we reduced God to a tool that we use to satisfy our selfish desires? Because if we have, we've essentially created an idol that we are using for ourselves. You know who really is at the heart of that worldview? The true God of such a worldview, the true God of that worldview is us. We are hedonists. We are living for our own pleasures as opposed to the pleasure of God, our Creator. And then the last thing I'm going to mention is this. We need to be careful to guard our hearts against this very subtle form of idolatry that replaces God, the true God, with an image we have created in our minds that we may even call Jesus, who we think is going to give us everything that we want. Listen to what it says at the end of 1 John chapter 5. He says this, we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we might know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That is our challenge over the weekend. May the Lord help us to keep ourselves from idols. And may the Lord help us to be a people who enjoy richly and abundantly that eternal life that God has graciously given us through the death and resurrection of his Son. And we have it now. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. If this has been an encouragement to you, please share some feedback. Perhaps share this video with someone else who could be benefited by it, encouraged by it. And I look forward to seeing many of you on Sunday, Lord willing. Have a blessed weekend. Bye now.